It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The So-So Show. It's Southampton's weekly podcast, a look at life in the city, hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. Now this week, we visit a local golf centre keen to break down the barriers and make it more inclusive.
We're trying to break down some of the boundaries of the game. The perception of golf is old man sport and ladies are frowned upon, and juniors also. We want to break those boundaries down.
And, oh gosh, you can hear how we got on when we visited the driving range.
More on that coming up later. Thank you for listening, by the way.
And also, don't forget to get on our socials. I know that loads of you get involved on there, but find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and wherever, because there's loads more to be heard about.
Including the video of Zoe's makeover last week, which is there on our socials too.
I love that video and I love the transformation. It's amazing.
Turned you into a Disney princess.
Exactly.
And you didn't have to kiss any frogs. So how have you been this week?
Well, I've been cheering lots this week. At the weekend, we went to a theatre. Yay!
Oh, that was the Titchfield Theatre, wasn't
it? Yeah, Titchfield Festival Theatre had The Wizard of Oz on. And I thought, oh, what a lovely show to go and see. So we went there and it was bizarre sitting there with my mask on for the whole thing, apart from the interval ice cream. I just found it absolutely wonderful sitting there. I got home from that. I watched Wales go out of the Euros. And then I watched all the crashes on the Tour de France, because the Tour de France is on and I love it. All those bums in Lycra. Amazing.
And of course, there's Wimbledon as well, which involves less bums in Lycra. Yeah. But there's still some good eye candy as well for you. You're on sport overload this summer, aren't you?
I am. I totally am. But the football, I mean, look, we are flying high at the moment. I know that you might be listening to this after the Saturday game.
Thinking you opened your mouth, Zoe, and you jinxed it.
I know. But that's it, right? So the Germany game, the England-Germany game, I mean, pretty much we won the Euros there, didn't we? The celebrations that have gone on have been amazing.
The amount of topless men in the street in Southampton outside pubs on Tuesday night.
You're absolutely right. On London Road, they sort of congregated out there and it was... Yeah, amazing scenes.
I don't think it matters what happens in the next couple of weeks now. No. We've had that moment.
Exactly. We're all right. 55 years we've waited for a win against them in a competitive competition.
When my 15-year-old woke up on Wednesday morning, he had no voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he'd been around to a mate's house with about 6 or 7 others, and they watched a game there. He got in the car afterwards. He was like, and it was even worse when he woke up the next day. And apparently it's not just for the cheering when the goals went in as well, right? Because I have it on very good authority.
Yeah.
They were all singing the national anthem at the top of their voices.
Amazing.
As well.
Amazing. So I live with my 8-year-old daughter. And so the cheering has always got to be a little bit subdued because she's not in the room or she's asleep or whatever. I always remember the women winning the hockey and sitting in bed going, yes! And that was all I could do, yes! And on Wednesday morning, I said to my little one, look, we won last night against Germany. And she was like, oh, amazing. You always shout and cheer at the football, mummy. And I said, well, I cheered a little bit quieter. And she said, that's progress.
I think my cat has lost 3 of its 9 lives yesterday with each goal and with the final whistle because of the cheers. I said, do you know what? You can have double dreamies tonight because we won.
Yeah, come on. We've won summer already. The Women's Euros is coming to Southampton next year.
Oh, wow.
Games will be played at St Mary's.
That's exciting.
Isn't it? I love that. I think that's brilliant. And the fact that it's coming here, I'm like, yes.
It's a good job that lost voice isn't a COVID symptom, because I imagine most of my lad's year at school would have been wiped out and sent home on the Wednesday after that. But he did actually have to isolate last week. One of his classmates turned in a positive lateral flow test.
Okay.
So about 50 of them were sent home.
Okay.
For 24 hours, it's that clenched cheeks. Hang on a minute. Is he going to have to isolate? Am I going to have to isolate?
Oh, no.
Have I got to reschedule all my weekend's work? And, of course, that was the worst of it. It was Thursday, and that was the first of seven weddings my team and I were supposed to DJ over the weekend. I was out Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, so I was thinking, I'm gonna have to arrange someone else to do it, not just for this weekend, but potentially for the weekend after.
Every time my phone goes and it's the school, I think, oh, please no. Especially this close to, you know, the summer holidays. Mm. So we're like 2 weeks away from summer holidays, the 6 week break. And because of that, I've been trying to sort out uniforms. So I've been having a look at uniforms. I don't know if you found this with your kids, Simon. I get a mad panic at this time of the year because I know that for the next 6 weeks, everybody's going to be buying uniform. And once they've run out in those 6 weeks, they don't get more. So what I do is I wait and I look in Marks and Spencer's until they've got their sale on their uniform. I think it's something like 20% off. I wait for it. It's like I'm in the starting blocks. I'm like, go. It's go right. Go get them now. And the other news about Marks and Spencer's, if you go to the one in Hedge End, I think there's 6 in the country that have been chosen for this. They've put a Clark's shoes in there.
Wow.
Right.
If only that had happened 10 years ago, my life would have been so much easier.
I know. It just means that you've got a one-stop shop, right? I can get all of the uniform. I can get the shoes. We're all sorted. We're all done. Did you, when you were a kid, Simon, did you have to go to Marx's to get your uniform?
No, we had a special shop in the next village called Geary's.
Okay.
And Geary's specialised entirely on school uniform for Rhodes School, which
right.
was my old secondary school.
Okay.
So everyone from every village within a 10-mile radius would descend upon the Geary's yeah. to get the blazers
in
and
two
ties,
weeks.
Shirts and everything else. But you see, you buy before summer holidays. I never used to get the school uniform for the kids until a couple of weeks before they went back, because you could guarantee they would have had a growth spurt or something.
Well, that's
the
panic, isn't it? You know, you don't want to go too early just in case they do have a growth spurt. You don't want to go too late just in case there's not a lot or it's so busy. But I always remember when I was a kid being taken to Marks and Spencer's and having to try on uniform in the shop. Wouldn't your nan say, right, take that top off, right, try this one on. And you'd be like, okay, I'm bare chest in the middle of Marks's.
We had a changing room at Geary's, but you still had to book a slot. The thing that used to fill me with dread is that he would be complaining about his shoes hurting with 6 weeks to go until the end of the term.
Right.
Because I don't want to buy you new school shoes yeah. now, because by the time we get to September, you'll probably have grown out of them anyway.
I'm so lucky because my little one, she hasn't grown that much. She's always been quite dinky. Her school shoes have been known to last 18 months.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I'm really not going to feed you anymore.
When she put them on.
Because this is good.
When she put them on, were they about 3 sizes too
yeah.
big? Did you go to squeeze for the toe and it was actually right by the ankle?
Yeah.
But I'm lucky because this is the last year that he's going to have school uniform. And they've decided they're going to change all the sports kit at Wilden, but yeah. he's going to be exempt from that. Because they've said, you don't need to worry about it if it's the last year for your child at school.
Okay.
They did that when they changed the skirts a few years ago, because some of the girls at school were modifying the hems on their skirts to make them as short as is humanly possible. And
it doesn't look like school. It looks like Love Island.
Pretty much. And they decided they were going to get around it by introducing this new tartany skirt, which had material in it. It was so thick you couldn't possibly do anything with it. You'd have to be like...
Couldn't even be folded.
So my daughter managed to sidestep that by being in one of the last 2 years of her school. She was very pleased with that.
All the rest of them are going to school wearing skirts made of wood.
It was that tough. It could have been plywood. So with school holidays coming, here is something that you might be interested in. Golf. I know the stereotypical image of golf is it's very elitist, but one particular golf centre in our area is doing its best to change that perception. We've been to Poulton's Golf Centre to chat to David Green, who's the director of golf and a PGA professional for 27 years. How much Argyle would you have accumulated in your wardrobe over that time? I wonder. Anyway, he considers himself really lucky to work at Poulton's Golf Centre.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. And the wildlife that we see here
yeah.
is also tremendous. You know, we've got roaming deer, wild boar, We also have Birds of Prey,
the
Buzzards. We have sort of living to the side of the 11th fairway.
Yeah.
So we've got some fabulous wildlife, as well as being in the middle of some fabulous tree-lined golf course areas. So it's beautiful.
We're here today because you're sort of looking to attract more females. Is that what you're sort of after? Because I suppose golf is sort of generally conceived to be an old man's game, right?
We're trying to break down some of the boundaries of the game.
Okay, good.
And, you know, the perception of golf is old man's sport.
Yeah.
You have to be wealthy to play it. And ladies are frowned upon, and juniors also.
Right.
So we want to break those boundaries down. So our target really is the facility we've got with an 18-hole golf course, a 6-hole par 3 course, a top tracer driving range, is to bring in families, bring in ladies, bring in juniors, attack schools and try and bring schools into it as well.
Yeah.
So our drive is very much to grow participation from grassroots up. But that said, not forgetting the senior golfer and you know, the discerning golfer that wants to just come and enjoy playing golf courses.
It's interesting, actually. So you said there's an 18-hole golf course, mm-hmm. and then there's a six-hole
par 3 course.
Because for me, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. My folks play golf, and it takes them all day.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, look, I think they're probably being quite social as well, you know, but that takes, you know, it takes a long time to go round the course. And actually, you don't want to rush it either.
No.
You want to play well. So if you've got a 6-hole course, then maybe that's the sort of T20 equivalent of golf. It's sexy golf.
It is. Well, it's aimed for the time-poor person.
Okay.
So, you know, golf is long, as you described. It can take up to 5 hours.
I reckon it would take me about 8 hours. I mean, I'd just be hacking at that thing, wouldn't I? And that's probably frowned upon as well.
No,
right.
We love it here.
Oh,
we
do
love
you?
It. Absolutely, we love it here. We don't love the 8-hour game, but we love the fact that we want people just to come out and enjoy themselves out on the golf course. We're not, you know, we're not worried about what people's levels are. We want you just to come and play golf.
Yeah.
You know, so the par 3 course is great because if you're a family and wanted to do something different and you've never experienced golf, as an example, come and experience it just by going to play a few holes as a family and see what golf is all about.
If I was thinking, if this sounds good, where would you start? Because if you ain't got any bats, what are you going to do? Because you can't just kick it round, right?
No, you can't, absolutely. And we're hoping once we come out of COVID, we can start to be a lot more amenable to lending golf clubs out and letting people borrow the clubs to go and do it.
Yeah.
And to go and play the par 3 course, you only need 2 or 3 golf clubs to go and do it. You know, and we have all the equipment to give to juniors and to adults to be able to go and enjoy themselves around that on that golf course.
Yeah.
So hopefully when the 19th of July comes, we'll be able to be more flexible and start to put that out there a lot more for the families to come and enjoy themselves and experience something ordinarily they may not even think about doing.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, the other thing about golf clubs is that they're incredibly social. There's always sort of something going on, and there's restaurants, and, you know, is there a big social side at Poulton's Golf?
We, again, want to grow that. Since the present owners have had the golf club, they've really only traded through COVID.
Okay.
So to try to experience that whole bringing people together, social element, we want to plan more events and bring more people into it.
Yeah, great.
So, you know, and we have close links with our suppliers and brands within our retail outlet.
Yeah.
Adidas is a big partner of ours. And we, unfortunately, have had to just postpone an Adidas golf day.
Okay.
But, you know, that was going to be a fashion show with all sorts of other aspects to golf added to it to create a big social event, which we'll look to rearrange to the end of August, early September. So we're trying to make it more sociable.
What would be the biggest challenge for somebody thinking of taking up golf? I quite fancy going and playing. What's their biggest challenge at the moment?
Biggest challenge at the moment is the boundaries of the game and the perception of the game.
Yeah.
You know, you must come dressed smart.
So I'll be completely honest with you, David. Last night I was on the website for Poulton's Golf looking at if there was a dress code and I couldn't find one. And I was like, well, I can't just turn up in my jeans. What am I going to wear?
Yeah, it's the first question that we get asked.
Is it?
It's the first, you know.
About what
I've
to wear?
I've never been to a golf club. What do I wear?
Yeah.
Because the perception is that you can't wear jeans.
Uh-huh.
You can't wear a T-shirt. Uh-huh. You know, you must wear collared shirt and chinos or the likes for ladies.
Okay.
However, our rules are we want you to come and enjoy golf.
Yeah.
We don't really mind what you wear, as long as you wear clothes. That's a good starting point.
That's never happened, though, has it?
So, you know, it's about participation at the end of it, you know. And if you're swinging a golf club, I wouldn't want to wear a pair of jeans personally when I'm playing golf. I feel that they're too restrictive. But that's my own personal feeling.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to come and play in jeans or a tracksuit bottoms, well, as long as you're comfortable and you're enjoying yourself, that's the biggest thing for us.
And one last question, if you don't mind me asking, do you still giggle when they say somebody's hit a bogey?
It's when you've got the double bogey, that's the problem that you've got.
I think we've identified your biggest problem with learning golf, and that's going to be not giggling if anyone says bogey.
Impossible.
Thank you, David Green, Director of Golf and PGA Professional for 27 years.
I mean, amazing.
I will be chatting to him again a bit later as he lets us loose on the driving range.
And I mean, it really was just quite loose, wasn't it?
It was loose. I hadn't touched a golf bat since I was about 19, and that's the one and only time I've ever played golf. So find out if I've still got the magic touch, or if I even had it in the first place, when we revisit Poulton's golf a bit later on in the podcast.
I was trying to get little glimpses of Poulton's golf the other day because I took my daughter to Poulton's Park. And we went on the roller coasters and all that stuff. I mean, it was an inset day. Okay, don't panic. I went in the week. It was an inset day. Of course you're going to have an inset day 3 weeks before the end of 6 weeks off. So, we went to Poulton's Park and it was an amazing day. And I was making sure that when I got to the top of the roller coaster, I was trying to look for Poulton's golf. If I'd had my eyes open, I'm sure I would have spotted it. But I can tell you now that, you know, I said about the new bit that's open, Tornado Springs. So they've got a driving school, they've got the Storm Chaser roller coaster, and they've got the Cyclinator. That is our favourite bit now. The Storm Chaser. So this is the roller coaster that goes around the track, but you're in cars that spin at the same time.
Gotcha.
So you never know where you are. I can promise you that. And every ride is different because, and we can't work out which ones spin faster than the others and why they do that. We kept going on it. I kept getting dragged back on it to go and try again, see if we could work it out, but we couldn't do it. So the Storm Chaser is the favourite. You have to do it if you go to Poulton's Park. Then there's the Cyclinator. Okay, so this is a big arm that swings like a pendulum, but it goes almost upside down, and then it's got a round circle on the end where you sit, and that spins at the same time as you're getting swung left to right. This Cyclinator, it's created a lot of chat at the moment. People either love it or hate it, and I can tell you some of the comments. It was on the Poulton's Facebook page last week, and they were saying, what do you think of the Cyclinator? And here's just a few of the comments. I wouldn't go on that for £1 million. We've renamed it the Horrifier. Best flat ride in the UK. That's what's being touted everywhere at the moment. And this was my favourite. I'd rather go through childbirth again.
Well, that sounds like a big thumbs up from everybody. And these, of course, won't have just been local people commenting. These will have been some of the people who've travelled from far and wide to come to Poulton's Park.
Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.
Did you get the thunderstorm this week?
Oh, yes. It sort of came crashing down, didn't it? Well, we'd been at Poulton's Park all day, and the forecast had said it was going to chuck down with rain all day. It didn't. It was completely dry. I was sweltering in the wrong clothes completely. And when we got home at sort of 6 o'clock, the heavens opened. Wow.
I haven't heard rain that heavy on the roof in a very long time. Disappointing lack of thunderstorm, though, where I was. Just some rumbles. But yeah. But I did that geeky thing where you have a look online and you see where the storm track is. And it was all kind of over to the west of us.
When you say, when you look online, you mean, yeah, you, Simon.
Oh, other people do that, I'm sure.
Who?
I don't know. But here's,
name them.
But here's something that happens when it thunders. And I wonder whether you do this still.
Right.
When I was young, the first rumble of thunder,
yeah,
there'd be a mad scramble to unplug the telly and take the aerial out.
Is that right?
Did you never do that?
No, but I've heard of very old people that do.
Well, I'm too old now to get down on my knees to do it. No, I've not done that in years, but when I was little, that was the thing. You've got to unplug the aerial and the TV from the wall in case we get struck by lightning and it blows up.
Well, having said that, I think it was Rich Gilbert on my Facebook. He said that his Wi-Fi router had been taken out by the lightning. So maybe it's not TV aerials anymore that are the target. Maybe it's something to do with Wi-Fi and cabling and whatever.
You see, that's a big gamble to take in our house, because if you unplug the Wi-Fi router to protect it,
yeah,
there'd be outrage.
Yeah.
If it got blown up, there'd be more outrage. So which is the greater evil?
I know.
So I just wonder if anyone else listening to this now still does the unplug the telly thing when there's a thunderstorm. I'm interested to know.
I'd love to know.
So let's head back to Portons Park and see how Zoe and I got on the driving range with Director of Golf, David Green.
First and most important priority, let's get you holding the golf club. All right. We want to make sure that when we come to grip the golf club, first thing we're going to do is aim the face of the golf club. All right, so we're aiming the club towards where we want to hit it. That's simply done by dropping the club behind the ball. Imagine a straight line towards your target, which is known as the ball to target line, and lining up the bottom edge of the golf club, the leading edge of the club, 90 degrees to it. All right, so we now know we've got the club face straight. Once we've done that, we're then going to put the left hand on the top of the grip and the right hand at the bottom of the grip, keeping the hands touching so they're not disconnected, okay? We can go into a bit more detail than that, all right, but I think for the time being, let's just go left hand above right, all right. All we're looking for when we're doing that is that we're holding the club through the fingers at the back of the grip and that the thumb is sitting on the top of the grip, all right, pointing down the shaft, almost down towards the club head, and that's for both hands, okay. Once we've done that, we're then going to take stance, all right. We're going to separate our feet. Our feet are going to be roughly shoulder width apart, all right, and we're just going to let the club settle behind the golf ball, allowing ourselves to tilt slightly towards it, a little bit of knee flex, all right, and that our arms are just hanging nicely from the body, all right, that we're not feeling like we're stretching out for it or feeling that the arms are tucked in. The arms have just got a nice hanging position from the body, and we're now in a position ready to go, all right, and then simply make the swing and hit it, okay?
Can I ask, where do you look?
So when you're swinging the golf club, always focus on the back of the golf ball, and then once the club has travelled through the impact position and hit the golf ball, then we can then start to follow the flight of the golf ball towards the target, and hopefully we'll hit the target. All right, okay. So, let's give it a go.
Right, which one of us is going first?
Oh yeah, heads or tails, go on then. I'll go tails never fails.
And it's tails.
And it's tails, right. I will... Yeah, I'll go first. I'll go first. All right. I'm confident. I'm feeling good, right? Hang on. So hands there.
That's it.
And there. Is that right?
Perfect.
Okay. And there. Am I in the right place?
So feet are shoulder width apart. That's great.
Yeah.
Just move yourself to your right so the ball is a bit more in line with your left foot.
Okay. Right there.
That's it. So we've got a big stick out.
Okay.
And then all it is, just think hockey.
I can't. The ball's not normally out there. I want to run towards it.
Go on, feet still. Let's go. Let's see.
Okay. Oh.
Contact made.
It went left at a 45 degree angle, about 20 feet.
It nearly went backwards. Right then, Simon.
Absolutely. All right, Simon's
down.
Okay, so feet shoulder width apart, arms hanging down.
Just stand a bit further away. That's it, so you feel the arms can reach out to the ball a little bit more.
A little bit higher so that I'm not going to miss it completely, which of course I will.
Oh, look, there's a good start.
I mean, give over.
But I hit the tee.
Right, do it again. Yes.
Fantastic.
That was great.
Really good.
Honestly, I have never played. And that 100...
You're kidding me.
That 157 yards was beginner's luck.
All right, then, I'll go with that. I don't think we're going to see either of us at the Open anytime soon.
Tiger Woods has nothing to worry about.
No. I've always wanted to play a sport for the first time ever and for somebody to say, you're amazing at this, like, and really sort of push you on, because that's what you hear from, like, Olympians, isn't it? That Danny King from handball, when she first got on a bike, they were like, right, you're in the academy, you're going to come up to the national team and whatever.
Well, the thing I liked about the driving range is it does give you the opportunity to be competitive, because if you haven't been on one before, they've got this gadget that tracks your ball and it shows you where it went, it shows you how far it went, and even though you are literally just standing on any old driving range, they can pretend that you're on any golf course, playing against anybody else. You could have a friend in Portsmouth on a driving range, logged into the same system you're on at Poulton's Park Golf Centre, and you can have a Southampton versus Pompey playoff on the driving range.
Yeah, nice.
It just makes it so easy to be competitive with socialising.
It does. Or you could have, like, England versus Germany.
You could play Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Because you'll be playing against his performance. It just opens up the possibility to be really, really competitive.
Yeah, I like all of that. Right, we've got lots of things going on. So, first of all, Jamie Porteous and David, they are doing a 200-mile bike ride for Alfie's Wish on the 31st of July. Then we've got another bike ride. This is Sergeant Steve Barrett from the RAF and four others. They're riding 148 miles from National Air Traffic Control, and that is for the RAFA charity. There's a comedy night at Vodka Revs on July 22nd. Dash in the Dark 5K, if you want to get training for it through the summer. That's in September, and that's all for the air ambulance. And then I love this one, and I think the name is just inspired. Brew with the Crew at Calshot Lifeboat. That's on the 24th of July. That's your chance to go down there, have a look, have a chat, see what's going on. There'll be lots of activities going on.
So it's basically a coffee morning, but with a different name.
Yeah, like it.
I like it. It's
take
snappy.
The family down.
Brew with the Crew.
Brew with the Crew. And of course, the other things to do this week, have a little look at our videos, because, you know, we've talked about having a makeover when I went down and experienced the Beauty Society at John Lewis in Westquay. You can see the transformation in the video on our socials. Also, you can see me being very rubbish at golf and Simon being very good at golf.
Beginner's luck, I told you. That
157
yards was a complete fluke.
I'm completely mad about it.
So thanks a lot for listening and interacting on our socials. If you see something going on that you think we should be talking about, please do let us know. You'll find us on Instagram, on Twitter, and of course on Facebook as well. And we've got our YouTube channel as well.
Oh, I know. And YouTube. Yeah, there's a few views going on there.
Excellent.
You know.
TikTok next.
I mean, we're just influencers, aren't we?
Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon. And you.
You've been listening to Zoe Hansen and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.